Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show, a variety talk show whose only mission is to empower you.
I started to push myself, and she said, let me push you. And I turned around, and I remember this 48 years later, of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning, that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent, I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, and thank you for tuning in. Today, my guest, David Wild, is a survivor of abuse, has went undiagnosed with bipolar and autism spectrum until adulthood. As an adult, he recognized some similarities of autism spectrum, decided to be tested, and was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, which is a form of autism. Today, David Wild is a proud husband, father of five children, author, and he's also an artist, and he's on a mission to educate others about mental disorders, abuse, and autism. Welcome. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, not a problem. Thank you for joining us. As I mentioned in the introduction, you grew up without knowing that you had bipolar and autism spectrum. What were some of the challenges that you faced growing up?
I was labeled early on as they would call me, that messed up kid. And I was very socially awkward. I had hyperactivity problems. And basically, I never had a good grip on why things just didn't work out socially between me and some of the other kids. That led to some bullying issues. And there was also lots of misunderstandings at home that tied in with some of the abuse issues as well, but it was just very clumsy, very awkward growing
up.
So you
were pretty much labeled a bad kid.
I was labeled a bad kid in general. I don't think anyone really knew what to do with me, especially at home.
I've read your MySpace page, and you mentioned on there that you were abused as a child. Without going into any great detail, how were you abused?
I survived all three forms of abuse. And let's see, that's mental, physical, and sexual. There was at home, it was a great deal of the physical and mental. Just mostly it was with a step-parent who was drinking. It was alcohol and drugs involved. There was a lot of the mental, emotional with that as well. I was told a lot of times that I was worthless, that I wasn't worth anything, and I couldn't do anything right.
So how did you cope with the abuse?
Well, let's see. I ended up retreating a lot. Basically, I really had no safe haven, because at school there was the bully issues, at home there was the abuse issues. So I retreated. I ended up being in my room alone a lot. I just kind of tried to avoid the situations as much as possible. I did get to leave the house and go out and play with, like other kids for the most part. So I did have that as a way of escape. But a great deal of it coping was simply to retreat.
You said you spent a majority of your life not knowing that your challenge is autism and bipolar. What led you to test?
My son's diagnosis actually led us to that. He was diagnosed about 4 years ago with Asperger's syndrome, and as I read up and studied on it, because I wanted to be able to help him as much as possible, I discovered that there are significant hereditary traits in all forms of autism. Mm-hmm. So having had questions all my life, I wondered, well, could this be something that I am dealing with? So I spoke to a specialist, went through a great deal of testing, very long questionnaires, and it turned out to be positive.
So what exactly is autism spectrum?
Well, autism, the spectrum is a group of five disorders, mm-hmm. which are Asperger's, Kanner's syndrome, which is your classic autism and generally the lowest functioning, Rett syndrome, which is mostly female, which is interesting because Asperger's is mostly male, disintegrative child disorder, which is where the child was able to function and suddenly stops functioning, and then child pervasive disorders, which is a kind of a lumping area where they put everything else that doesn't seem to fit, and they seem to be finding new ways that autism affects kids and adults every month. So there's a lot to that, and it can get confusing to try and single it out.
So what is the difference of, am I pronouncing it right, is it Asperger's?
Asperger's.
Asperger's. What's the difference in autism?
Well, Asperger's is a high-functioning form of autism. The difference from general autism, for one, is that I'm able to function, go out into society, I've had jobs, I'm able to communicate with people. I'm still, you know, socially awkward, and I may not recognize facial expressions or body language. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like having selective blindness, but you know, unlike other versions where the person can't even speak or feed themselves, I have a higher functioning level.
The challenges are pretty much the same. It's just a little more severe with the autism.
With the lower functioning. The lower functioning autism, it is much more severe, considering that low enough function and they can't speak. There are those that cannot feed themselves, cannot talk to anyone, mm-hmm. and are essentially completely prisoners inside their own minds. And that's really what autism does. My way of explaining it to people is that it takes certain portions of how you function with the world around you and locks them in a box. If you imagine that box being inside your mind. And every once in a while, that box might let something out. And it might, you know, something might show. But you don't have control over how it does that. It's very random. It's a roll of the dice. And sometimes nothing ever comes out, and those are the ones who simply cannot function, have to have a caregiver at all times. And like me, I only have a little bit that's locked in that box. And it's still enough to make things very difficult, but I'm able to dress and feed myself. And so it's definitely a difference.
Once you were diagnosed, which was not that long ago, just, what, 3 or 4 years ago, what was your reaction?
Well, it was kind of a mixed reaction, really. In part, there was relief because I had just been given the answer to so many of my childhood questions. And when you can put a name to something that you're dealing with, it's easier to deal with it. You know, not knowing and just growing up confused, very difficult. But once I had a name and something I could study, something I could learn about, it was a relief. And I think it was actually more of that relief and enlightenment than anything else. And it's kind of scary, too. But at least I was able to finally put a name to something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it had gone on so long. I had lost jobs. I had lost relationships. And I never understood why. Mm-hmm. But now, suddenly, I could take and learn about something And as I learned about it, those questions started getting answered. So it really was a relief, in a way, to find out that I could place a name to it.
So what has changed since you have found out?
Well, I have been on a major journey of self-discovery. I am able to see now ways of talking to people and communicating with people that I didn't have back then. I've been learning about facial expressions and the ones that I've missed so that I can actually concentrate on when I'm communicating with someone, I don't get quite as lost. And I understand more about myself. And when you can do that, it's hard for me to imagine being able to do anything better for yourself than to fully understand yourself.
Yeah.
So that you can live and function with the world around you. So I'd say that is the biggest change, and I have actually been much more at peace with the world around me with having that knowledge and learning.
As a parent, my youngest son has Down syndrome, and sometimes I question if I should, whether it's taking him to the daycare or out in public, if I should tell people that he has Down syndrome. Not that I'm ashamed or anything like that, but maybe for the purpose of them not treating him, giving him special treatment. Have it ever been a concern of yours as far as letting people know that you have autism?
Oh, sure. Yes. And considering that my main interest is education now more than anything, so I really have no problem with telling someone that I live with autism. Or if something's awkward happening with my child, and it does happen, and I'll get a few interesting stares, I have no problem with simply saying, we're dealing with autism, it's okay. And everybody kind of seems to go through one of two reactions. They either say, oh, okay, and go about their business, or they say, oh, I've always wondered about autism, and then I have a new opportunity for education. And that's really about the only thing for me. I mean, if things are really awkward, I find now that if I can tell them, you know, especially if they're really going to get to know me as a person,
yeah,
that, you know, this is my condition, and every once in a while, my facial expressions will not match our conversation. You know, which I think is one of the most important things that I could tell people, because I do deal with that a lot, where I'll see the expression on the other person's face go to something that looks to me like confusion.
Right.
And it's usually because my facial expression is disconnected and showing something totally not even pertaining to the conversation at hand.
I was watching, it was a YouTube video not that long ago, and the lady was explaining autism, and she was saying, imagine walk in a room, and everything is coming at you. Everything has information, and you're getting the vibe from everybody. You everything is amplified, the sense of smell. When you walk in a room, you can hear everything that's going on, from the fan, from somebody clicking their foot or tapping their pencil against the desk. All this information is coming at one time, and couple that with feeling the fabric of the clothes and all this stuff. So they tend to focus on one thing to keep from receiving all that information because they're not sure of what to filter out. They close themselves off to everything to keep from everything coming at them. And she was saying, too, that the reason why a lot of kids with autism don't look you in the face is because it's too much information.
Yes.
It
really is. We really don't have the safety breakers in our brain that allow us to filter what is coming at us. So, and it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice. So those like myself who are higher functioning can practice at filtering it ourselves. But that can be a daunting task and an exhausting one. So I am still at the mercy of sensory overloads once in a while, and I have to remove myself from a situation in order to kind of just let things off of me and relax for a little while. But we do take in literally everything. And that's actually a common misconception with those who are lower functioning, because people will think, well, they have no idea what's going on around them. It's the opposite. They know
right.
too much of what's going
right.
on around them.
Right.
And it can, you know, I told one person, imagine yourself in a room with everywhere as many as can possibly fit floating mason jars. Now imagine them all trying to crash into the center at the same time. And that's very much like what sensory overload can become, because it's just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
That some people will shut down right where they're at. And I have actually had to help another person who almost went into the, you know, fetal position to get away from a sensory overload. And the problem is, in order to help the person, you have to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's more sensory.
Right.
So you really can't help them without compounding it a little bit. But it really is, it can be a very daunting task, and it can also be very tiring, very exhausting for a lot of us.
Now, what is your source of motivation?
Education, absolutely. I feel that education is, in my experience, it's the key to everything.
Mm-hmm.
The more that you know, the more you can handle. And the more that, such as in a case with a person who has special needs, the more you know about that,
mm-hmm.
the more that you can even accept the fact that that person is there, because you can understand it. You know, understanding a person with autism means, okay, I know why they're reacting that way. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid of this person, because now I have knowledge. And knowledge conquers fear.
What would you say, how did you get through it without having any support?
On that, I have to say, first of all, everything seemed to be very random. I really didn't have much control over things that happened in my life, or I didn't feel like I had much control. So it seemed to me things happened very much at random. I do believe in divine intervention, so... and I've had several friends who know of my story think that I had to have a guardian angel near me, because they're not sure how I could have possibly survived it. For example, I ran away from home at 14 because of the abuse situations. The first thing that I did, which was a very bipolar thing to do, was to hike over a mountain, because I thought a straight line was the shortest distance to where I wanted to go. And it was in my mind, unrealistically, that I was going to walk there. And, well, that was trying to walk from Utah to Florida. So I'd have to say that there's been, you know, somebody watching over me. I believe that very much. And with that, if luck could have anything to do with it, I'm sure that was there too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah. I see God was in it. Looking back on your childhood, what would
mm-hmm.
you say, would you say that knowing would have made a difference?
I think knowing could have made a difference. It may have made a difference in some things,
mm-hmm.
but it's hard for me to see it making a difference in others, like the abuse situation. I think that because of what was involved in that, you know, there was drugs involved and alcohol involved, I can't see that really changing much from it. However, I could be a very different person today if I had known that much earlier and was learning that much earlier. If I had proper support, it would be very different today, because I'm sure it would affect decisions. I might have even had somebody there beside me who could have said, you know what, Dave, this is your condition talking, so let's stop and think about it for a minute. So yeah, there could have been some differences. Some things certainly might not have happened. But I think, I'm pretty sure about half of it, somewhere in there, at least with the things at home, still would have been an issue.
You have 5 children. As a parent yourself and someone who has autism spectrum, what advice would you give other parents and those who have the spectrum themselves?
Well, first thing when it comes to dealing with anything is to learn about it as much as possible. You know, I would say study, but it doesn't even need to be that intensive. Just learn. Learn as much about it as you can so you can understand if you're doing it to help support yourself or your child. You can't know too much. Beyond that, it's going to be difficult. There's going to be some tough times involved. Stick with it, and remember, never give up. And I'll say one thing that I've carried with me ever since I lived in the streets as a child after I ran away from home, and that's that you've got to concentrate on one thing at a time. And that's generally speaking, putting one foot in front of the other and simply repeating the process. You just got to keep going.
Well,
that's a big deal. It's got to keep going.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people that's listening have a lot of questions running through their head, and we can't answer everything. But you've written 3 books that you tell your life story, and you also give advice through your books, I'm imagining. Could you tell us a little bit about these books?
The first book is titled, is the title okay to say if given the word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The title of the first book, I just wanted to make sure. The title of the first book is Raised in Hell, and it is about surviving my childhood directly, up to the point where it breaks off, and I started moving into a realm of trying to shape myself as an adult, and that's the second book, which we're not sure on the title just yet. We're still fiddling with that, but something along the lines of Breaking Free or Breaking Out or Breaking Out of Hell is the second book. The third book is another area of experience, and it's about discrimination and stigma. And that is called Officer Outcast, because beyond everything else, I actually grew up and got myself into a career as an animal control officer. And when my diagnosis had barely started, the first thing I was diagnosed with was bipolar disorder. And they decided I was no longer worthy of my badge after 5 years of decorated service.
Wow.
So I tried to fight it. Very bad politics were involved, so I could not fight it in that arena. So I've brought it to the literature arena, and I plan to use it as education, because the simple fact is stigma is the opposite of knowledge. It is created from ignorance, and it destroys lives.
Yeah.
And really, it doesn't matter who's being discriminated against or why they're being discriminated against. It destroys lives. So it's a different angle, but it's one that's equally as important as the rest of the educative value. The very first book, Raised in Hell, which starts all the way back from the very, very beginning and goes up to a point where I'm getting on a bus to go someplace else. It is one that I'm giving away for free across email and through my MySpace page.
And I wanted to mention that, too. I saw that you were offering that for free because you explained kind of why you felt that it was important to give it away.
I think it's important at this point. There were several reasons that brought me to this decision. The first one was that currently, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics and, you know, the American Health, American Medical Association, 70% of children who need support for these conditions, whether it's bipolar, autism, ADHD, are not getting that support. They're either unreported or simply not being dealt with, whichever, however the case may be. The numbers that we know about who are being helped in schools or helped by their parents are only 30%. So to me, if you can get the numbers, which there are statistics for how many kids in the country have autism, you figure if that's only 30%, the mathematics create a staggering number. And the other issue was today's economy. Because as much as I want to help other families, and I wanted to publish a book and be a published author, you know, I wanted to make that my career, there's also a case of there's so many people that I can't help because they can't buy the book.
Right.
So I'm bypassing that because I want to be able to reach those families who are in trouble and couldn't afford it otherwise, because I want them to be able to get a foothold somewhere and gain a new understanding. If it helps the, you know, just one family, then giving it away for free is totally worth it.
Yeah, it's priceless. What motivated you to use your story to educate other people and to motivate them?
Well, the idea that, you know, if you look at that 70% number, I was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I was there, you know, in person, so I know what it's like to be unsupported. And when you know what it's like to, you know, to have a pain like that, it can make you want to reach out and help someone else because, well, you know how it feels.
Right.
You know, if I had my foot in a bear trap and my best friend, I got out of it, of course, and survived it, and my best friend gets it, well, I'm going to help him. I know how that feels. You know, and I'm speaking of a very figurative bear trap here, but it's a matter of just trying to help make the world a better place, even a little bit at a time, because, well, again, like I said, I know how it feels. But also, you know, there's a lot of these kids that really need that help. So, you know, if I can motivate other parents to even pass it on, they may reach those other families.
What is it overall that you want people to understand about special needs in general?
That we're still people, really. We're not that different. We may approach life differently. We may see the world differently, but that's really all. And if you compare that to, well, religion, for example, people in different religions see the world differently too, because of their belief systems. And, you know, we try to teach our children to accept people of other religions and, you know, other issues or how people live or whatever the case may be, but it, you know, special needs kind of got swept under the rug, kind of didn't get noticed for that, especially the invisible special needs that you can't tell right away that a person has them. It may cause them to act a little strange. So the biggest thing there is, you know, we're all people. We should all be able to get along, you know, just general acceptance is really all I think, you know, we want.
Yeah, very well said. How can people get a hold of the book and get more information about you?
My MySpace page is currently the best way to do that. I've made that my headquarters.
Okay.
And if they want to search for me, if they go into MySpace, they can search for me by typing in The Wild Man, which is my last name, Wilde, between the and man as one word. So it's a play on my last name, which I thought, well, it's memorable, and it was actually kind of a joke growing up amongst a lot of us, you know, which member of the family is going to be the next Wild Man. So that's the best way to find me there. There's also, you know, folks can type right into my email address, which I've put out everywhere, and that's the same spelling, only with a number 2 at the end. So it's thewildman2@yahoo.com. They can request the book there. If they email me and they can't find the MySpace page, I'm happy to send a link. I do a lot of blogs where I try to touch on people's questions and just bring up general subjects as I think of them that may help people. And I kind of go over what it is, what it's like for me through day-to-day life living with an autistic disorder.
Thank you so much. This was very enlightening. I absolutely agree with you 1,000% on that. As a parent, I want people to see it's not that big of a difference. And you said it perfectly.
Oh, thank you.
So I thank you so much for by offering the book for free. It will reach a larger audience. And I wish you nothing but the best with that and with all that you're doing to spread awareness.
Thank you very much. Especially, thank you for having me on here because, every little bit that we can do together to educate is just one more step in the right direction.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
No matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you for tuning in to the Yvonne Pierre Show. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to let us know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit us at www.hyhradio.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always be true to yourself. I love you. God loves you. Thank you for listening.